drug driving. Yeah, anybody around my age, mid to late 50s, remembers all the TAC campaigns that really got going in the 80s and the 90s and the 2000s. You know, drink, drive, bloody idiot. It seems that we got that message. The rate of drink driving is lower, a lot lower than what it used to be. But it's now, by my reading, been replaced by drug driving. Monash Uni studied road injuries, so injuries from road accidents over 10 years. They took samples from 10,000 people who were involved in road accidents. They found 23% of injured drivers had illicit drugs in their system, and another 15% had other drugs, which might be prescription, but you are not supposed to drive a car if you're on them. Alex Guest, founder of Integrity Sampling, drug testing expert, and former Victoria Police member, Michael Wheeldon, good morning.
Morning, Tom.
Well, I was a bit shocked by, you know, this figure that almost a quarter of injured drivers had illicit drugs in their system, but should I be surprised?
No, not necessarily. In my opinion, I don't think you should be surprised. Don't forget, these people are like the old blood test. They're obviously taking blood when they go into hospital, i.e. for alcohol or now drugs. So it's the world's changed, and illicit drugs are the forerunner opposed to alcohol.
Right, and do you think we need to have new I mean, I have seen some TAC campaigns about drugs like ketamine and heroin and, you know, MDMA and that sort of thing. But do we need to amp up the campaigns like we did about alcohol generations ago?
Well, as you just said in your intro, you know, back in the 70s, 80s, it was all about 05, and they pushed it out everywhere in the media. And I think people stood up and listened to it because they didn't want to lose their license. But now I think they've really got to do a lot more for drugs, drug driving especially.
Can you tell me, and I don't really understand this, in most other states in Australia, when you get a drug test, they do test for cocaine. But in Victoria, we do not. Why is that?
I can't answer that. But however, I do know there has been a request for information gone out to a number of manufacturers of drug test kits, and cocaine has been included. So I can see it coming in the near future.
Okay. One of the issues with a drug, I believe, like marijuana, is that you can, say, smoke it or in some cases eat it, and you have the initial high, and that might wear off after a few hours, but it can sit in your system for up to 10 days to 2 weeks afterwards. Is it possible that a lot of the positive drug tests are people who have elements of it in their bloodstream, but they're not currently being affected by it?
I would suggest you're right there. In the oral fluid test, which they do roadside, it could have a window of up to about 12 hours. And therefore, after that 12-hour period, the drug turns into a metabolite, sticks to the fat tissues in your body, and that's where they'd be finding it in those blood tests.
Right.
So some would be, you know, the psychoactive drug that's affecting the person at the time, but the remainder of it may be past use, as you said, a couple of weeks, up to a couple of weeks. But that's normally detected in a urine test, up to about 2 to 3 weeks.
Okay. Do you think the fact that we have things like the heroin injecting room in North Richmond, and now we have state-sponsored pill testing at music festivals, do you think these initiatives sort of legitimise drug use in people's eyes?
I'm not in favour of the drug injecting room, especially the media. I don't know a lot about it, but just what I hear on your show and in the media, it doesn't seem to be that successful from what they see on the outside. As far as the concerts and the like, where they have pill testing, yeah, I don't mind that. I think it's okay. But again, at the end of the day, it's an illicit drug. So why are people coming to these places with illicit drugs in it? It's an offence.
Well, I agree, but it's not prosecuted around music festivals because they can't have on one hand a tent for pill testing and on the other hand a police officer standing there arresting people, can they?
Yeah, but they have a drug testing company that tests people to see if they're under the effects of drugs, if they want to, at a cost.
If they want to.
At a cost. And I think that would probably, and look, I've got nothing against it. I think it's a good idea too. And they do a fantastic job, the company that does it. But I think it's more or less, well, the festival may be over. Like, can I drive home or not?
Well, that's the truth, isn't it? But again, I suppose if the message is you turn to the festival, you have your half dozen pills. I've never done this, so I don't know. But anyway, you get told that these are safe, then you might think, you know, we're looking in the mind of a 21-year-old here, they might think, oh, well, if it's safe, it means after the festival I can drive home. But of course, we know that's not safe.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's where the education, excuse me, that's where they need to have more education surrounding this, and whether it goes into the schools or and there's public educators out there that educate about drug and drink driving and the like, you know, that's the way it's got to be. But unfortunately, like, we do workplace drug testing, as you know, and our numbers or our statistics are fairly low because it's been going on for about 20-odd years and the workers understand, you know. Okay. So we're our detection is probably 1.5% in Victoria.
That's interesting. And yet there we are with 23% of injured drivers getting testing positive. All right, look, thank you, Michael. Michael Wilden there, founder of Integrity Sampling.